As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Top of the 2 o'clock hour here in our nation's capital. Linnell Willingham taking you up to 3:40 before we hand things over to Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler. They'll get you warmed up for Nats and Rockies. It's a 4:10 first pitch out in Colorado. Mackenzie Gore set to get the start. Good to see the Curly W's back in action. It is rare. And Chris, maybe I'll have to look this up. How many times... In the history of Major League Baseball, I'm pretty sure it's only in certain cities, right? Boston, Colorado. How many times have we had a baseball game canceled because of snow? We always know the inclement weather thing is a possibility with rain and thunder and lightning and all that. By the way, I hate thunder and lightning. So I've been living by myself. This will be my first full summer alone in my apartment after my roommate left to Morocco to become a overseas basketball star. Now that I'm at home alone, the thunder and lightning is going to hit way different. I hate, because my grandma always told me, now, when it raining outside, you cut that game off, you cut that TV off, you stay away from them windows. So I'm thinking my bed is right in front of my window. There were times, Chris, even with my roommate in the crib, thunder, you know how summer gets. It can be raining cats and dogs, loud-ass thunder, flashing lightning. There were times where I stood my ass in the kitchen for 10, 15 minutes, just waiting for it to pass by. Homie, don't play that, man. I don't do roller coasters. They lucky I take the escalator here in this building. I don't do anything that could put me at risk of dying. Not that I'm scared to die.
Drive a car.
Well, the way I do it, some man I call it driving. I get honked out all the time. I'm a passive driver, Chris. That's probably because all those years I drove without a license. I was so scared of getting pulled over. Oh, my life is something.
Anyways,
my life.
I did look up, there's no specific record on how many games have been snowed out. However, apparently in the 1997 World Series, a game was snowed out.
In the World Series? Yeah. What city was it?
I mean, like, let's.
That's crazy. So World Series time is October. So that doesn't sound crazy, though, right, Chris, to get snow in October. But to get enough snow, that's the other thing, too. I wonder how much differently they would treat rain versus snow, because you don't want the playing surface to become hard. Imagine being an outfielder.
That's in Cleveland.
So that city kind of makes sense, though, right, is what I'm saying. It's one of those areas that gets cold, gets chilly. But I'm thinking, like, how much snow has to fall to deem it unplayable? Because I'm thinking, like, you know, if it's flurrying, right? If it's flurrying and, you know, do you stop playing then? Imagine being an outfielder. The grass is frozen and you're trying to go run from center field to go haul down a ball.
Grass crunching
below you.
Cleats.
And you know how baseball cleats are. They got like the spikes on. Oh, good Lord. Good Lord. That's tough. I don't like the cold. Point blank. I hate the cold.
Not a big fan of the winter Olympic sports.
Breakdancing, though. Summer Olympics.
That was summer, though.
But breakdancing. You put me on the breakdancing. I will never, ever.
I can see you being the fourth man in a bobsled.
What about the fourth man spot? Is it something relative to me? Or
usually where you want the strongest and heaviest person because they're going to be the last one pushing and the last one in. And it's just, you know.
So I don't know if that was an athletic compliment or a dig. I'll take it as both.
Yeah, I mean, just like other sports, certain body types and different positions.
Certain body types.
Like,
what they say? Different strokes for different folks.
You ever see the head first skeleton?
No, what's that? Head first skeleton? Is that like an event?
Skeleton's like a sled, basically. It's kind of like a sled, like the ones that had like the metal rails underneath.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically go down the bobsled tracks on those things face first. Like on a sled, man. It's like, yeah, it looks incredibly dangerous and scary. And it's fun to watch other people do it.
Yeah, probably not fun to, yeah. I told you I'd keep you up to speed all afternoon long on Pacers and Bucks, the 4-5 matchup in the Eastern Conference, as we had a quadruple header to start the NBA postseason. 3:02 left to go in the opening half. Giannis doing everything he can to keep Milwaukee in this. They're just not getting much help elsewhere. Indiana up 14 with 2:50 left to go. They feel like they're about to run the Bucks out of the gym. They're now up 17 with 2:45. This is bad. They're getting their ass whipped. That's tough. That is very tough. Wow. All right. Well, we'll see how this ultimately finishes up. Like I said, we'll keep you up to speed the rest of the afternoon on Bucks and Pacers. I wanted to get into the NFL draft a little bit, man. We're 5 days out from the start of the NFL draft. And relative to the Commanders, I asked David Harrison this question, and he kind of pushed back a little bit. I'm gonna make a declarative statement here. I guess it depends on how the board ultimately falls, so I don't want to have what I'm about to say written in pen or in permanent ink. But, like, the more and more I think about it, the more and more I think, man, I don't know if Washington should go running back at 29 or 61, depending on what is available, right? Like, I think, and I want to be careful with this. I don't want to offend anybody. I feel like the need at running back is more of a fan and media-driven thing than how they actually feel internally. I do think they seek another explosive weapon on offense. I think they have to, right? How many times a season ago did you see 15, 16 play drives for this football team? That, to me, is unsustainable moving forward, right? Like, I don't want to have to live life that way moving forward. Now, with this group, at 29 and 61, and we mentioned this with David Harrison, this is why the draft, to me, it's my favorite time of year. And normally, our draft coverage starts a lot sooner because we get bounced, but when you go to the NFC title game and your offseason is a wee bit shorter, you got some things to chomp on, some things to think about. The running back position, to me, is not a premium position in the National Football League. It is a premium position if you can get your hands on a Saquon Barkley type of prospect, a Bijan Robinson type of prospect, a Josh Jacobs type of prospect, so on and so forth. The running backs that will be available at 29 and 61 are not those type of prospects. And all you continue to hear when this pre-draft process started was the depth of the running back spot. If the depth of the class is that deep, does it make sense to use your two richest picks on that position? That's the dilemma that I currently have. And I love Omarion Hampton and Travion Henderson as much as the next guy does. I truly do. Is it responsible as an organization, knowing the depth of the class, to use one of your two richest picks on a running back? That's what I'm hung up on here. If Omarion Hampton is available at 29, I would have a really hard time passing up on him. But obviously, it depends on who else is on the board. At 61, if somehow, some way, the football gods bless you and Travion Henderson falls to 61, I wouldn't mind Henderson at 61. I wouldn't mind Henderson at 61. Other than that, like, it's going to be tough for me in terms of the running backs in this class. I think Caleb Johnson can play. I wonder if 61 is too rich for a guy like him. Like, this is the tough part about all of this, man, is it's like, well, where do you go from here? How is the board going to fall? Omarion Hampton at 29, to me, you got to turn in the card. I personally feel like the gap between Hampton and Genty is not that big. I just don't feel that way. I think Hampton at 6'1", 220, the power and the contact balance and the burst that he shows is really, really impressive. Running 4.46 at 220 is damn impressive. I think he's got some home run capability. He would really, really intrigue me at 29. But outside of that, like, I'm not taking Travion Henderson at 29. I'm sorry. I'm probably not taking Caleb Johnson out of Iowa, right, at 29. Like, it's not something that's going to happen for me. It's just tough because I still like the guys they have in-house, and I know I'm kind of like in the minority on this. I think Brian Robinson is a quality NFL tailback. I think Austin Eckler is a quality NFL tailback. I think they need to add somebody to the mix. I don't think they need to add someone to completely supplant both of those guys. And that's where this thing gets interesting. I'm a huge RJ Harvey guy out of UCF. You want to talk about burst and the ability to catch out of the backfield, 4.440 time. Like that to me translates. That's a guy that I'm, you know, pretty fond of. Breshad Smith. I did this on television for DC News Now at the very beginning of this process. Breshad Smith out of SMU is a guy that, a former wide receiver, has the ability to catch passes out of the backfield, a home run threat. I really like him potentially on day three. That's my sweet spot for the running back position is what I'm trying to get at here. I'm not in the business, and like I said, there are some hold on wait a minutes when it comes to this. Travion Henderson at 61, yeah, I can buy that. Right? Omarion Hampton at 29, yeah, I could buy that. Other than that, I would prefer that Washington goes running back on day number three. Like that's just my personal preference here when it comes to all of this. Now, who cares about what I prefer, right? I'm not Adam Peters. I'm not Lance Newmark. So my opinion is relevant at the end of the day. It's irrelevant at the end of the day. But, like, the position value relative to, like, an edge or a corner or an offensive lineman, running back's just not as important, man. It's just not. Like, this is where it would get really interesting to me. And I guess this is where the trade back scenario very much comes into play. If Josh Simmons, Omarion Hampton, and Donovan Azaraku are there at 29, who do you pick? I know who I'm not picking. The running back. Trenches, 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 trenches. That's what's got to, you know, stay at the front of the mind of us as fans here when we go through this draft process. Think about why you came up short in the NFC Championship game. Not because you didn't have a good enough running back. You weren't good enough in the trenches on both sides of the football, yet there is this infatuation with running back at 29 or 61. I'm not about it. I'm just not. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. The more and more I think about it. Now, like I said, there is a hold on, wait a minute when it comes to this. Like I said, Hampton at 29, Travion Henderson at 61. Yeah, I could get with that. But anybody else, I don't know if I'm on board for, man. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. The Commanders are a true wild card, though, going into night one of the NFL draft. I don't really think there is any position I can't see them going outside of quarterback, kicker. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, I want to take your calls on this, too. What does Washington have to leave the draft with? Through hell or high water, what do the Commanders have to leave the draft with? Give you my thoughts on that next. This is The Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I know we're supposed to be talking Commanders here. That's what I tease coming back from break, but I'm making an executive decision to pivot. What the hell is going on in Indiana? Free Giannis. Free Giannis. They can't go to park car. Indiana shooting 61% from the field in the first half. And I got idiot coach Doc Rivers playing Fox Newsma over Kevin Porter Jr. The hell is going on? Free Giannis. I say it all the time, man. This is going to be the most impactful postseason in recent memory, because if certain teams fall short, pressure, Tell you that bill going to be due. Giannis doing his part. He's got 19 points on 7 of 11 shooting in the first half. They're down 24 points to Indiana. I can't believe what the hell I'm watching. I mean, this is embarrassing. They look so disinterested in guarding. That's not even close. Can't believe what the hell I'm watching, man. This is awful. And I get it. There's no Damian Lillard. Is Damian Lillard really the difference here? Damian Lillard going to stop Indiana from shooting 61% from the field? Probably not. I mean, this is sad. Doc Rivers, put Gary Trent Jr. on the floor. Put your guys out there that can guard. No one gives a rat's ass that you traded for Kyle Kuzma, so you feel inclined to play him. So the hell what? This is awful. Awful, awful, awful. Can't believe what the hell we're watching. Or what I'm watching. I hope you all aren't wasting your time watching this. It's horrible. I am, like, distraught over it. It's the first game of the damn playoffs, and we got to watch the Pacers mop the floor with the Bucks.
And you think it's just because Dame's not out there?
I mean, I'm being facetious when I say that. I'm being sarcastic and snarky. To Toby Altice. I mean, this is terrible. They can't guard a parked car. You're giving up 61% shooting. They're shooting 61% in the playoffs. Now I'm going to have to hear from all the old curmudgeons to say, see what hell, playoff basketball, the new NBA, wah, it sucks. Yeah, it does suck. I mean, this is awful. And I blame Doc Rivers, another check-stealing, non-basketball-knowing, I said Doc Rivers, Chris, not Doc. I saw the look on your face. I don't know. They might as well lace up the DOC at this point. I mean, guard better than Kyle Kuzma. This is embarrassing. I think my damn free $5 bet went to waste on this. That's why I'm mad. I had a $5 free bet. I had a 15-leg parlay. $5 free bet. Gone to waste because I thought Giannis would be able to overcome the terribleness of his organization.
Giannis is not always great in the playoffs, man. He's got an inconsistent history.
He's been hurt. Giannis is phenomenal.
I mean, in the playoffs, though, man, he doesn't always show up every game.
This is sad. This is sad. This isn't about Giannis. You see the energy zapped out of me? What's going on, JR?
What's up, fellas? You were just making a comment about how, like, last season, Jaden Daniels and the Commanders, like, offense had so many long play drives more than any other team in the NFL. Well, even though I was born and raised in D.C., and that's, like, my favorite team, unfortunately, I've been living in Boston for the last 25 years and had to watch Brady do it year in and year out. When you have a smart quarterback, it is sustainable. Now that we've improved the line, it is more sustainable. Now that we have another weapon in Debo, it is more sustainable. Why is anyone thinking that in the draft we should do anything offensive? To me, is out of my mind. The defense is one of the worst on paper in the entire league. Our defense last year was the worst in the fourth quarter, giving up points than every other team. And it showed its ugly head in the playoffs. Like, Jaden Daniel had to come back and have all these fourth quarter overtime, you know, fourth quarter late game drives because our defense was so bad. The fact that anyone was thinking, hey, you know what, let's get a running back, I keep losing my mind. Like, the running back is not going to make a huge difference in our offense because the offensive, like, passing of Jaden Daniels is so smart and so consistent. It's going to open up, you know, running for any running back who's halfway decent.
Yeah. Look, I hear the argument on both sides as to why you should go with a running back, why you shouldn't go with a running back. To your point, though, I mean, this defense was clearly the issue last year with this football team. But I do expect them to be
100%.
I do expect them to be much improved having another full year in the system. But, like,
Now, that leaves my next point, because, like, up here, we're very critical of everything, right? I've learned that from listening to the sports station over the last 20-whatever years. We still find stuff to pick at and get better. With the defense being so bad, now, I understand it was very bad on paper. How much, percentage-wise, is that, like, Dan Quinn's fault? Is that a very, like, basically none? He had zero chance of having a better team?
I mean, the personnel is not good. So that's more of their issue on defense is the personnel. For them to play as well as they did last year defensively, they deserve credit. I mean, they're playing with – they don't have a lot of talent on that side of the ball.
Yeah, but I don't remember many games where you thought, oh, you know what, the defense did great because we didn't do very good in sacks and turnovers. We were low and everything else, not to mention we gave up lots of points.
So those are the two most important metrics.
As bad as they were, they're actually better. They could have been worse if it wasn't for Dan Quinn, because, like, yes, that's a fair point I hadn't really thought of.
That's definitely how I would put it. They could have been much, much worse. Just my thoughts on it.
And then your fact about losing, you know, emotion and drive because this NBA playoff game is, well, trash.
Yes.
We could always take the opportunity because, especially since it's not like, you know, the Wizards or anything like that, we might be able to talk about maybe some hockey playoff that's coming up that would be way more encouraging.
Oh, JR in Boston,
about some
guess
other
what?
Team in some other state.
JR in Boston, guess what? Chris Russell joins us next to preview.
I'm here.
Caps and Canadians. There we go. Appreciate the call. Chris Russell joins us next.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Some people follow the rules, I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Chris. See, you're catering far too much to the guest. I'm going to coach you up because I'm a team player first and foremost.
You got yours on his show yesterday.
I'm a team player, yeah, but... That was because you had to cater to me.
I didn't have to.
We're on the big stick.
I didn't have to do that.
I kid. But you're catering far too much to the guest here. You can't tell by the music and my energy being zapped away. We're being joined by Chris Russell, the host of the Chris Russell Show, weekdays 1 to 4 on the other station. Chris, appreciate you joining us, man.
On the other station?
On the team, not. I was doing my best, Grant Paulson.
I was going to say, are you Grant Paulson?
I just saw Grant Paulson in studio, so it rubbed off. Well, that is, I couldn't. It's contagious.
Yeah, that explains it all. And by the way, Chris is just being very nice and good at his job. And as he correctly pointed out, you know. As he correctly pointed out, yesterday he got your silly theme music in, so today it's just a reciprocation that. I deserve to be catered to because I'm helping you out.
Well, I guess you could say that. Let's just be real here. Our last caller. What was the last caller's name? From Boston.
Some guy in Boston.
I forgot his first name. JR from Boston. Yeah. Oh, so you're helping me in more than one way, huh? Yeah. No, it was perfect. He was complaining and moaning and groaning about how we hadn't touched on the NHL playoffs yet. And I said, I got something for you. And here you are. So as we sit here.
I'm here.
As we sit here about 56, 59 hours away from face-off Monday night at Cap One Arena, your early lean on the way this series goes.
Well, I mean, listen, it goes without saying. You got home ice, take advantage of it. You've got a fairly young Montreal team, and that place in Montreal, game three, game four, is going to be a hornet's nest for you to play in. So take advantage of it, number one. Don't screw around like they did, quite honestly, you know, a lot of the time building all the way up and even including the Stanley Cup year of 2018, where they would constantly lose, like game one, lose home ice, and then put themselves in a precarious situation. So that's number one. Number two, you know, of course, we have so many different issues. I don't think Alexei Protas is going to be ready by Monday night. I would be surprised. Maybe you get him back some point in this series. Again, I don't know. It's just an I don't think. Based on some things that I've heard, based on some things that I observed, based on just common sense. And then you have the goaltending issue, which I'm sure we'll get into between Lindgren and or Logan Thompson. And here's the bottom line, Liddell. They have not been a good hockey team for well over a month now. I would say this goes all the way back to, you know, right around March. I think the date was like 23rd, 24th, somewhere in that range. They have not been a good hockey team defensively. They have not been a good hockey team in goal. They have not done a good job of puck possession a lot of the year. It's not just the last month. And they need to figure all of this stuff out in a hurry, or they're going to have what happened to them in 2010, 8-1, Montreal, and the Capitals, although some slight differences, they're going to have that happen to them as well.
For sure, and I apologize for taking a breath. It's now a 37-point lead. I can't believe what the hell is on the television. The big thing in that you just mentioned is, yes, they have not played well in over a month. How much of their poor play defensively specifically do you attribute to the goal scoring chase?
I mean, listen, do I think it had a psychological and mental impact and maybe a physical impact? Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Had they been a little bit better since Alex Ovechkin cemented that? Sure. But I don't think they've been, and listen, there was one horrible game, but if I'm just throwing that game out, post streak, but before the streak, you mentioned Buffalo, they gave up 8 goals at home to Buffalo, which is a team they've always struggled with. And that's really the crux of the issue here is they struggle, and everyone knows it, and Spencer Carberry has even mentioned it. They struggle against and have always struggled against teams with skill and speed and size and the combination of that and good puck possession teams and good through the neutral zone and so on and so forth, right? As do most teams. But what he's pointed out is we sometimes try and adapt to their style and play their style of game instead of playing ours. So it'll be interesting to see how defensively responsible they are in this series, how they clear obviously out in front of the net, how they deal with the transition. Now, for their sake, right, this is not a juggernaut in Montreal. This is a team that was worst in the Eastern Conference of the NHL until like I think it was mid-December, if I'm not mistaken, if I remember correctly. This is a team, though, that has been in a playoff lather for a couple of weeks. Why? Because they needed every single point that they got just to make it. Now, that could be good for two things. That could be, hey, they're desperate and they're on a roll and they've got the oil running through the engine, or maybe they're just going to run out of gas, and that's what you have to bank on if you're Spencer Carberry and the Capitals.
What do you think is more of the realistic scenario here there, Chris? Because this is, I guess, the best way to describe this series is two teams that are going in complete opposite directions.
Yeah, I mean, so the question becomes for me, Linnell, is did the Capital, you mentioned how much of the defensive breakdowns had to do with the streak. And it's fair to wonder that. I wonder how much of the defensive inefficiency and the goaltending issues came from being so far ahead and just the long grind of the regular season, right? 82 games.
Right.
And you're just mentally and emotionally kind of like let yourself, I don't know, breathe a little bit too much, right? So I don't know if it's two teams going in opposite directions as much as it is the Capitals needed to get back on, you know, get back to what made them so good. Now, the one thing that I would say is the biggest issue probably that you can say point a finger to is even before this stretch started, and even before the injury to Logan Thompson in Carolina a couple of weeks ago, he had not played very well. Honestly, I mean, you know, and neither had Lindgren. And basically, I would say that for me extends all the way into like late February-ish, somewhere in that range. Maybe if you want a clean break, maybe the Four Nations break. Where they had not been as good in goal as they had been in the first half plus of the season. So if that's the case, right, and if that happens in this series, which it shouldn't, even though Montreal's got some talent in Caulfield and Suzuki and so, and they just brought up the kid who just debuted a couple of nights ago, even though that, if that happens and they're giving up 4 and 5 goals a game, never mind win a cup, they're not winning this playoff series, period. That's how easy it can happen. So whoever's in net, they've got to get their head squared on straight, and they're going to have to make up for some of the faults, if you will, of the group of defensemen that have also been not as sharp, not as good as they were. And here's one other thing. They're going to have to get back to being just lights out in the third period, which they were for a 3 or 4 month period where they were absolutely just indestructible in the third period. That's the way this team is going to win.
For sure. You mentioned the woes that they have defensively. They can't score, though, with the absolute best. Do they have enough offense, do you think, to maybe overcome their defensive issues, at least in this series, to get past to get past this group?
Yeah, I think so, because Montreal doesn't have a great set of defensemen, number one. And going back to that 2010 series, oh, by the way, now Capitals fans will remember this, right? And you know, he's a great analyst. They had P.K. Subban, who had just come up that year, right? He made a difference. A guy like Hal Gill, who was 6'7", and just this big physical lumbering, guy that kind of stops some of their speed in transition. Well, Montreal doesn't have that. They don't have Yaroslav Halak, who obviously became a just menace in that series. Now, that's not to say that they don't have anybody, but they don't have those guys, right? And that's why I think Montreal is ultimately beaten in this series and overmatched in this series, assuming that the Capitals don't lose somebody key early, i.e. a Dylan Strome or a Tom Wilson or a Pierre-Luc Dubois or obviously an Ovechkin. And, you know, who knows? We'll see if they get Protas back. The bottom line is they have enough depth, I believe. And when you start to look at how this team is constructed just in the bottom six, right, forever people talk about, well, the top six is the most important thing to me at playoff time is the bottom six. What you get out of your third and fourth line. And Nick Dowd, who got the contract extension, is always good for a timely goal and obviously plays a gritty style. I wonder, like, do they get Lars Eller anywhere close to what Lars Eller used to be for them in that 2018 Stanley Cup run? I've seen it at times. I haven't seen it enough. Do they get that guy to elevate his game? And if they do, along with the Taylor Radishes of the world, and we'll see about some of the other pieces that they're dealing with right now and maybe some injuries. If they get that, then they have more than enough depth and they have more than enough talent to get past Montreal. Now, if we're talking about to get to the Cup, again, a lot of things have to change and they have to get a lot better first before we start talking about that. I'm just talking about this series.
I'll let you go on this, my friend. Who do you think should be splitting the pipes in net?
Well, I've been saying for a week and a half that I thought, well, even if Logan Thompson came back before the end of the regular season, then that was an if, not a definite, that to me, I have to go with Charlie Lindgren, who was your guy last year, carried you into the playoffs last year. Granted, has been a little spotty at times. And again, we just talked about the rough last month and a half, 2 months, what have you. To me, I don't throw a guy into the lion's den that hasn't played in 3+ weeks and just automatically assume that he's going to be on top of his game and go back to the way he was.
Even a guy of his standing? Like, we're talking about a guy that's been one of the best tenders right in the NHL the past several years.
Yeah. Yeah, but again, because you haven't played in 3 weeks and because you are dealing with a rust, what have you, yeah. Timing, all of that. Again, it was a concussion. I mean, clearly they're not going to allow him to play if he hasn't passed all of his concussion tests. So that shouldn't be an issue. This, to me, is a timing issue, a rust issue, Charlie Lindgren, even though he, again, hasn't played great, some of these losses and some of these goals, obviously, over the last couple of weeks have not come against Charlie Lindgren. What my point being is Logan Thompson wasn't great before the injury in the last couple of weeks before the injury.
Right.
Lindgren has played the last couple of weeks as the number one. And to me, I wouldn't take that away from him in game one. Now, if he allows 3 or 4 goals and if there's a softy, then I'm very much open to going right back to Logan Thompson.
Right.
But right now, today, if you ask me, I would go with Lindgren first and let him kind of sink or swim, and then you go back to Logan Thompson before it gets to be desperation time. And meaning, like, before you're down 3-0 or 3-1 in a series, that's how I would do it. I don't know how they're going to do it, though, but that's how I would do it.
A lot to chew on when it comes to Monday night. Are you going to be in the building Monday night, Chris Russell?
I am.
Attaboy! All righty.
Yes. Yes, indeed. You want me to take you along with me?
Could you? Is that a possibility?
Maybe.
Don't get me all lathered up. For me to make my Caps debut in game one of the playoffs,
goodness.
Wouldn't that be something?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. What would they do? They would probably go, there goes the neighborhood, you know? I mean, you know?
Man, oh man!
I don't know if I have that kind of power, but I'll work on it. Okay.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it. I'll bother you. I'll bother you. I'll bother Grant. Someone will help me get in the building. I got.
Yeah. Well, ask Grant. He's got glass seats, so I mean, he's got all the power.
It's playoff time. He's probably going to be sitting right next to Zach.
Probably. Yes.
Probably. Exactly.
Yes.
We appreciate you.
He's going to be sitting between Zach, Ted, and Ovi's wife, right? That's the lineup.
We call those the GPGSEs, the Grant Paulson Glass Seat Exclusives. Acronym
there
King.
There you go.
Acronym King.
There you go.
Chris Russell. You know.
Attaboy.
Appreciate you giving us some time, my friend. We'll talk soon.
CFL. All
that
right,
is
thanks.
Chris Russell. You can catch his show weekdays 1 to 4 on our sister station, the Team 980, for all the best coverage of the Capitals, Nationals, Capitals, Wizards, Commanders, whatever you want. All things DC sports with that caged animal. He's one of the absolute best. We will take a quick time out. I guess I'll update you on Knicks and Pacers, or excuse me, on Pacers and Bucks when we get back. We'll also talk a little bit of NIL. Nico Iamaliava choosing UCLA after leaving Tennessee in a very unprofessional manner. We'll chew on that next here on The Fan. The rout in Indiana continues. Good God almighty. Pacers all over the Bucks in game one of a quadruple header to start the NBA postseason. This is ugly. 86-63 with 3:30 left to go in the third quarter. Giannis doing his part. He's got a 25-point double-double. 10 of 17 from the field, 25 points. He's missed 6 free throws, so that's not good. But outside of that, man, there is no other Buck in double figures. Two of the 5 Buck starters haven't even scored. I mean, this is embarrassing. I can't believe what I'm watching. On the other hand, for Indiana, more of the same. More of the same. 3 out of their 5 starters in double figures. Tyrese Halliburton doing his thing, 10 assists. Benedict Mathurin, 11 points off the bench. I mean, they got it figured out. I sleep on Indiana, I will admit. This is a 50-win team during the regular season. I do the irresponsible thing, and I probably sleep on them maybe a little bit more than I should. They got it going on. You added championship pedigree last year, getting Pascal Siakam. They got a group that can go, man. They do. The guy that's been super impressive to me, and he was this way last year during the NBA playoffs, Andrew Nembhard, turns into a whole different cat. Gonzaga and the Fighting Drab t-shirts stand up. Man, silly Andrew Nembhard, man. This has been hard to watch. I understand it's just game one, and Dame Lillard may return next game, but is Damian Lillard gonna stop Indiana from shooting? Hold on. There's no way this number's right. 58.2% from the field. I'm sorry. Dame Dollar's not helping that out. This is bad. It's tough. The first game of a quadruple header, though, to start the NBA playoffs. There'll be NBA action all afternoon long. Clippers and Nuggets coming up at 3:30. Pistons and Knicks. That's my favorite game of the night, if I'm being real. That comes up at 6 o'clock, and then you got T-Wolves and Lakers a little bit later on. This is tough, though, man. this is tough. We were talking about the Washington Capitals with Chris Russell. Really appreciate him joining the program. I'm a little nervous about Monday. I'm nervous about this series. The one thing I would say, probably because of the physicality of the sport, football probably I could say this about too. It's hard to just have the on-off switch in a sport like hockey. Either you're playing well or you're not, and they're just simply not playing well. The one saving grace that I have for the Caps and all of their defensive woes and the injury uncertainty that they have, they can score the puck with the best of them. So the hope, right, is that they're able to get past Montreal, and then hopefully by the time this series wraps, you have more of an answer on Protas, right? Logan Thompson is back healthy. Lars Eller hopefully is in playoff mode playing well. Tom Wilson hopefully is in playoff mode playing well. Right now, if you had to inject me with truth serum, Doc Walker style, no chance I would pick this group to advance to the Stanley Cup final despite them being the one seed in the Eastern Conference. It's just how it is. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Speaking of the Capitals, their roommate at Cap One Arena, the Washington Wizards, They had their season come to a close last week. Their general manager, Will Dawkins, he spoke to the local media earlier this week. We'll let you hear the best of Will Dawkins coming up next.